On Christmas Eve in 1906, the first radio broadcast of speech and music was made by Reginald Fessenden in Massachusetts, America. It was received by a small audience of naval radio operators. The first public broadcast took place in New York just under 4 years later on January 13, 1910. It was generally considered unsuccessful. On November 2nd, 1920, the first public commercially licensed radio station began transmitting. The first broadcast was the results of the American presidential election. Fifteen years prior to its adaptation into a medium for public exchange and communication, radio had served another purpose. From the 1900s, aircraft had used radio as a navigational tool, and from 1905, sailors had used radio to transmit Morse code messages between ships.
Radio had also found its expression in the more molecular and local practices of radio enthusiasts and amateur broadcasters. During the First World War, however, such independent radio transmission was ordered to cease. In 1916, the first broadcast license was issued in America by the Department of Commerce. This was perhaps the birth of pirate and free radio,
with
the implementation of state-authorized radio stations.
Activism was small free radio.
Free radio is a term used to describe the theory and practice of self-made clandestine and pirate radio broadcasting.
The potency.
Most commonly, these broadcasts are illegally transmitted over popular AM and FM bands. Pirate radio operators can be found making TV and radio transmissions across the entire radio frequency transmission spectrum. Most often though, pirate radio and free radio is associated with the hijacking of commercial airwaves. The use of pirate and free radio has been commonly linked to resistant activities, whether political, social, cultural, or artistic. Over the space of several decades, free radio and pirate radio has proved itself to be a deeply significant tool of media activism to communicate political and social struggle. In Italy, during the 1970s, free radio projects such as Radio Alice came to represent a site of do-it-yourself media, a common media available and accessible to all.
Generally in the West, but especially in Italy, the economic power and the political power have been strongly connected with the media power, and as you know, the main expression of capitalist power in Italy and of the political aggression against society is a man called Berlusconi. This man is a media man, a financial power, and at the same time the expression of the fascist political power coming back in the country.
Wherever you looked in 66, there were people challenging the status quo. Far out in the North Sea, a broadcasting revolution was taking place.
Broadcasters such as Radio Caroline were to become cultural icons.
The BBC's monopoly of the airwaves. Some of them are still going.
It was located on a ship anchored in international waters off the coast of Suffolk, England.
It revolutionized radio in this country.
In Japan during the 1980s, the micro radio movement arose in response to the monopolization of radio by the state.
All the time.
Like in Italy and in England, this again indicated the use of radio as a means of self-organized and self-determined media activity.
My interest in micro radio started with the Italian free radio movement in the 1970s. When I was in New York City, John Downing, media professor of Hunter College, told me that in Italy, you could open up your own radio station without license. So I wanted to follow such an activities in Tokyo, but after my researches, it turned out to be that the situation was totally different. The Italian free radio movement was guaranteed by the Verdict 202, which was produced by the Constitutional Court in July 1976. This declared that the RAI, this is the only one legal radio station at the time, RAI monopoly of local broadcasting unconstitutional, and the airwaves, especially FM airwaves, belong to the citizens. In Japan, of course, there was no framework for such activities. The surveillance system of illegal radio airwaves was very tight. And half a year passed without any good idea. In April 1980, an idea flashed suddenly into my mind. In the Book of Regulation of Airwaves in Japan, I found that very weak airwaves to use has no license. In the Book of Regulation, I thought this might be a breakthrough in Japan, to use airwaves without license. Airwaves, this regulation was established in the 50s. But during 30 years, the performance of radio sets receiver was improved very much. In the 50s, the very weak airwave could cover only 10-meter radius. But in the 80s, it could cover 100-meter or 200-meter radius because of the improved performance of radio receiver. It could cover, and I repeated tests and convinced that this is it. Because of the improved, the idea of mini FM suddenly flashed, and but without Ivan Illich, Hans Magnus Entens Velga, and Felix Guattari, I could not have found the idea. But
in Victoria, Australia, documents have pointed to pirate radio being used for media activism from around the 1970s.
In 1971, 3DR, Radio Draft Resistance, transmitted anti-conscription messages from Melbourne Uni. The station was jammed by the government and removed. Also in 1971, 3PR, People's Radio, was set up at Monash Uni. This station was also jammed by the government and removed. There was a pirate from Melbourne on 1611 kHz, which operated around Christmas or New Year's Eve back in the mid to late 80s. Rock solid signal at night across Victoria. In December 1986, a series of test broadcasts from a radio station calling itself Radio Uranus was heard in Melbourne on 98.4 MHz. They said that they were preparing for a major broadcast on Christmas Eve. The test broadcasts consisted of two people, possibly the station's founders, playing music and talking in between tracks. The second test broadcast sounded like they were on a boat, as a boat engine could clearly be heard in the background. On November 18, 1989, Radio Uranus was heard once again, with another series of test broadcasts, one on each day, heard on 97.7 MHz. It was not until 5 p.m. on November the 19th, when the test broadcast ended and a proper broadcast began, that the identity of the station was known. The broadcast consisted of the same format of music and talk as in 1986. According to the presenters, They were using a 10-kilowatt transmitter located in Kinglake, an outer eastern suburb of Melbourne. The transmission featured a cross to their stereo cruiser located near the city. The broadcast ended suddenly sometime after 8:30 p.m. when the presenters interrupted the song being played to say that they were raided. In the 1990s, two pirates broadcasting on shortwave from Australia were heard worldwide. The stations were called Radio G'day and Tasmania Radio International. On December the 30th, 1992, a pirate radio station calling itself 3PPP was heard on the FM band in the inner suburbs of Melbourne from before 10:30 p.m. till sometime after midnight. The broadcast featured music and talk. 1996, radio pirates hijack Hits FM's signal and broadcast their own show with talk breaks and music. Police never tracked down the source of the signal. On October 19th, 1998, a program of pre-recorded rant-style talk was aired with the topic of Marxism in Melbourne, naming and shaming some hypocritical Melbourne Marxists. In 2001, Radio Eureka made several broadcasts with a power of approximately 12 watts on frequency 6235 kHz. In 2003, Radio Eureka broadcast on the anniversary of the Eureka Rebellion. Also in 2003, Tex FM, operating on 99.7 in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. On January the 3rd, 2006, Channel 7 aired a program about a train wreck, Mayday. From the start of the program, the audio is a loop of a voice seeming to say, "Jesus Christ, help us all, Lord! Fuck!" The problem appeared to have been fixed, but returned about 10 minutes later, forcing 7 to run an extended ad break while it fixed the problem. Channel 7 claims the looped audio occurred from a glitch in the tape. However, YouTube investigators found that the audio to be from a video found on YouTube entitled Halliburton Ambush Iraq. Jesus Christ, help us all, Lord. 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 Jesus.
The first transmitter I built was fitted into a Tic Tac box, and it was copied out of, there were these great sort of kids' books at the time. I think they were English, and they had no photographs, they were all illustrated. And there was one called Spycraft, I think, and it sort of had things like how to build fingerprint kits and things, and there was this sort of basic FM transmitter sort of bug device that you build, yeah. And I thought, this would be kind of interesting. And I tried to build it, and it didn't work. I got a soldering iron, I think it was like 5 seats, and it just completely, I think I just burnt out it, got a soldering iron, I think it was just great, and it got completely destroyed, just completely, and I just burnt out it, was kind of just being enjoyable, just in it, everything got destroyed together, so yeah, I sort of stuck at it, but it was kind of just enjoyable, later I built something that had a range and that, so maybe sort of stuck at it, sort of later I built something that had a range, enjoyed sort of transmitting that out. My radio station enjoyed sort of transmitting that out on a good day from line of sight. I've got a radius of 4.5 kilometers, maybe 5 kilometers, which if I was on the roof of the Rialto and transmitting, I'd be able to reach St Kilda, Coburg, and Footscray, and maybe Chapel Street areas, like all down there. I've got a fairly good range if I had the height. So I was always fascinated with the idea of the little stations or the faraway stations that you couldn't reach, or you just found by chance on the dial.
This is a comment found on the Australian Radio Frequency Spectrum Allocations Chart of 2008, which is determined by the Australian Communications and Media Authority.
The radio frequency spectrum is a natural resource that is used but not consumed. It is used by being occupied, and the efficiency of its use depends on coordination amongst users in order to minimise interference to each other.
Radio, as acoustic space, will always exceed such restrictions. The usage of the radio frequency spectrum depends on a coordination amongst its users. It depends then on a negotiation amongst people, the people that transmit and the people that listen. The radio frequency spectrum is a collective space for media activism, for collaboration and for participation, for political and social exchange.
I am not satisfied by the idea that media activism is only a political way of creating more information. I think it means something more difficult to understand.